is where we're going to be focusing the majority of our time this morning. It's good to see you all today. It's another beautiful day. Even though it is raining outside, it is still beautiful because it is not snow. So it is gorgeous. It's nice to see those snow piles melting. It's nice to see that spring is finally deciding to show itself around here. It's exciting to think about the things that are to come. The warmer weather, and been enjoying the 60-degree temperatures outside. I was able to spend the day with my daughter yesterday, so we went for a hike and just enjoyed the weather out, and it was just beautiful. And I know she was enjoying being outside as well. So Psalm 139, I had Mickey read verses 1 through 10. And we're going to go back to those specific verses in just a few moments. But verses 23 through 24 are a couple of verses in the psalm that I believe most of us are familiar with. That when we consider what it is to ask God to search us, this is the passage that we're going to go to more often than not. It says in verse 23, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." When I think about searching, I think about looking for something that you're trying to find. Obviously, that doesn't take much of a definition, but I think back to times when growing up, we played hide and seek. I think that's possibly the most common game that kids play, that young people enjoy doing. Because it's very simple. You don't need any props or anything. You just need to be in a place where you can actually hide. So a big open room would not be the best idea. But I remember playing this a lot with my siblings growing up and other friends. And I believe that most every single person here has. But it was interesting. I typed in on Google hide and seek just to see if there was any weird things out there. Anytime you do that, no matter what you type in, you're going to find something out there. And I came across the World Hide and Seek Championships. Who knew that there was such a thing? I believe that there might be somebody in this room that actually was aware of this. Miss Wendy, did you know about this? You didn't? Okay, because it takes place in Italy. So I figured that our Italy expert might possibly know. But it is true. It claims to be the World Hide and Seek Championships. But only Italians play it. So I don't know why they claim it to be a world thing, but it takes place in Consono, Italy, and they actually have a certain name for it, but it's in Italian, so I might have to get pronunciation from you later. I didn't want to try it here at this point. But a bunch of people get together, and they have this really, it's an old deserted city. It used to be really popular a long time ago, but nobody lives there anymore, and so they just have the World Hide-and-Seek Championships there. And I looked up some videos on YouTube. It looks like a lot of fun. Like, it kind of turns in hide-and-seek and then tag, and you have to make sure you don't get tagged, and you're trying to dive onto this one soft mattress-type thing to make sure that you win. It looks pretty fun. When I consider the advancement of that from the hide-and-seek that I played, and then I consider, as we're going to look at in the passage this morning, about asking God to search us. Are we playing hide and seek with God? Are we saying, "Oh yeah, you can search me," but then we try to hide things from him? And really, as we're going to see in a few moments, is that even something that we can even do? We can even try to pretend to do. But in Psalm 139, we're going to get an idea of what it looks like for God to search us and what that really says about the state of our life at that point if we are asking God to search us. So this morning, the title of the message is Open to God's Searching. And really the question, are you open to God's searching in your life? Let's open up with prayer this morning. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for Psalms and just the encouragement that collection is. And we can look at many different things about you and learn about you as our Savior and as our God. Lord, as we get into Psalm 139 and just the amazing things we even learn about you in this passage, and then as we get down to verses 23 and 24, Lord, just the idea that we should be asking you to search us and to know us and to see if there's anything wrong in our lives. But as we're going to see in just a few moments, what that really says about our lives, and are we really willing and ready for you to search us? I pray that you'd help all of us this morning to have open hearts and minds, that we'd be willing to receive the truths from your word, and that we would leave here changed, not just content with where we are at, but that we would be motivated to live in Christ-likeness, and be motivated to change anything in our lives that is not 100% lining up with what you would have for us. Pray that you bless this time now, in Jesus' name, amen. So Psalm 139, we're going to see four different things here, truths about searching. First one being, we see the desire for searching. Obviously, in order for you to be searched, you have to have a desire. Now, in the law enforcement world, sometimes you may get searched because you have done something wrong and therefore you forfeit the right to searching. But most times, you're not going to get searched if you're not actually willing to. We see in verse 23 where David says, "Search me, O God." David is expressing a deep desire for God to search him. He is willingly inviting God into his life and saying, "God, please come and search me." I would hope that at least most of us, if not all of us, have had that prayer at some time in our life, where you've said, "God, please search me." And as we go on to see, is there anything in my life that I need to change? But I have here, is this really something that we need to do? In other words, do we need to ask God for permission? Or is our permission needed for God to see into our lives? In other words, do we need to say, "God, here, you can look in. Feel free to come and see what it's like inside of me. I know that you can't otherwise, but I'm giving you permission to do this right now." Do we need to do that? No. We don't need to do that at all. And how do we know that? We'll go back to Psalm 139, verses 1 through 10. The very beginning of this psalm, David is at the end here of the verse that we're looking at, but at the very beginning, he explains his understanding of what God knows about him. In verse 1, it says, "O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me." Kind of an interesting thing there. You would think that the verses 23 and 24 should come at the beginning. But it says at the beginning, David understands, "You have already searched me. You already know me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off before I even know them. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it." Like, even if we wanted to understand this much, we wouldn't be able to. "Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me." And then he goes on, he explains even more about how God knows every single detail. God has all knowledge. He is omniscient. He is also omnipresent. He is everywhere. He knows all things. So therefore, with that understanding in mind, God already knows every single detail about you. God knows things about you that you don't even know about yourself. God knows what's going to happen to you before you even come close to acknowledging what might happen. God has all this understanding, so therefore, with that in mind, when we ask God to search us, is that really us giving him permission to do something? No, he already knows it. But why is it important for us to have this prayer that David had, where he said, "Search me, O God"? If he already knows, why do we need to tell him that he can search? You see, this is a level of invitation into our lives that is an admittance of innocence. In other words, in our lives, we're saying, "God, I'm at a point where I am trying to please you. I am walking with you to the best of my ability. And to my knowledge, there's nothing in my life right now that is between me and you. But as David said, but my desire is that there is nothing. And I realize that I don't know everything even about myself. And therefore, I am asking you to search me and see if there is something in my life that is coming between me and you." See, this comes after we have already confessed sin and we have a clean conscience to the best of our ability before the Lord. See, this invitation into our lives is something that God desires because it shows a close walk with him. So we need to have that desire. We need to have that invitation into our lives, asking God to search us. We have that desire. But secondly, we also need to understand the source of the searching. It should go without saying that the source of the searching is God himself. But how many times do we invite other people or other things or try to search our own selves? And we leave God out of it. You see, David set a pattern that we can follow here in this psalm and many other places of where he continually went to God. It's not like David is perfect. Anytime we talk about a person in Scripture outside of Jesus, the fully God, fully man, and every other person has some great examples for us, but there's also some times in their lives where they definitely were failures, where they were human. We looked at a few of those last Sunday night. But David sets a great example. All throughout Psalm, in Psalm 119, verse 10, "With my whole heart have I sought thee, God. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments." Psalm 63, 1, "Oh God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My soul longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is." You know, I don't think there's very many people in this room or even in this world today that can have such a way with language as David did. The Psalms that he wrote were just beautiful. But you can really see in his heart here in Psalm 63 where he's just crying out to God and he's saying, "God, you are my God. I have sought you early. I long for you like I long for nothing else. You are the one that I want. I want that close relationship with you." And as we have talked about before, when we look in David's life, it doesn't mean that every single moment of his life was in a perfect relationship with God. But he had that desire. He wanted to be in that relationship with God. And when he sinned, and then if he got that right with the Lord, or if it, in the case of with the sin with Bathsheba, it had to be brought to his attention, he did ultimately get that right with the Lord. And he kept that close relationship with God. But in our own lives, are we crying out to God and saying that we desire him more than anything else? That we seek him first? That we go to him before we come to any other person or any other source of wisdom that we might think of? You see, going to God at this point, where we're asking God to search us, shows that a close walk with him has already been established. You see, we don't just invite somebody to search us for no reason. You don't just go up to some random person and say, "Hey, why don't you look at my life and see if there's anything that you don't like?" I don't. And if you're normal, that's not something you do. But even more so, we don't even just do that with God. The person that we should have the closest relationship to, when we get to the point where we are asking God to search our lives, it is really saying that we have come to the point where we are super, super close to him. We're desiring to be closer still to him. Deuteronomy 4:29 says, But if from hence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul." We need to be seeking God with our whole heart, with everything that we have within us. Jeremiah 29:12-13 says, "Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart." Folks, we will find God if we seek him with our whole heart. Not with a divided attention. Not as we see the example of the world around us and what is natural for our flesh, where we're trying to do tons of different things at the same time. We're trying to give a little bit of attention over here and a little bit of attention over here and say, "Well, I'm just going to kind of include seeking God in that kind of mix of everything else." To where for a part of the day in the morning, I'll give him some time, I'll seek God, but then I'm going to kind of take a break from that while I go and I seek after my job, or I seek after this other hobby that I have, or I seek after... No, you see, seeking God should be the priority. Seeking God should be the thing that we are doing constantly throughout the whole day, throughout the whole week, throughout every single moment of our lives. Because you cannot seek for something or someone with your whole heart with divided attention. If we're seeking for God with our whole heart, that means he is our whole focus. Doesn't mean that other things don't happen. Doesn't mean that we're not seeking for other things, but we're constantly seeking after God. and he is the priority. He's not just another checkbox to kind of check off and just be like, oh, that's where I'm at, doing this and this and this. No, he is the sole focus. He's the thing that we are focusing on continually. You see, seeking with a whole heart equals a close relationship with God. If we're at the place where, as David was in those other verses we looked at in Psalms, where he's seeking God with his whole heart, if we're doing that, we are showing we are in a close relationship with the Lord. Once again, I want to be careful. It doesn't mean we're in a perfect relationship. It doesn't mean we're doing everything perfect, because none of us can ever live a perfect life while we're here on this earth. None of us are ever going to reach a point where we have attained perfection, where we no longer sin. Because we see all throughout Scripture the battle that we have with the flesh. It's something that is real that we are going to face until we are called up into heaven. But folks, we need to understand that we can have a perfect seeking of God, to where we are continually going after Him. And when we sin, we get that right with Him. And we're in such a close relationship that we don't have to go seeking for God because we've left Him so far behind, but that we're in that close relationship, we can just turn to Him and go to Him in those times where we sin. We understand God needs to be the source of searching, not a source. But what are the targets that we see here? What are the areas that are specifically being asked of David, and what we should in our own lives be asked of God to be searched? We see in verse 23, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts." You see, first of all is the heart. We should ask God to search our hearts. Why is it important for God to search our heart? Proverbs 4:23, "Keep thy heart with all diligence." Why? "For out of it are the issues of life." Jeremiah 17:9-10, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? If I, the Lord, search the heart, I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." Understand that our heart is naturally wicked, that our heart naturally wants to do wrong, that out of it are the issues of life. In other words, everything that we do flows naturally from what our heart wants to do. And we have to have our heart focused on the Lord. We have to be purposeful about it. Our heart is not just going to follow after God just because it's something to do. No, we have to focus it on that. The heart naturally wants to do wrong, wants to go the way of the world. No man Jeremiah 29 when it makes a, in Jeremiah 17 when it makes a statement, "Who can know it?" It's a rhetorical question, because no man can know your heart. You can't even know your own heart. You can certainly not know anyone else's heart. But folks, we need God to search our heart, because we can never understand it. We can think that we are in a right relationship with God. We can think that we're doing things right, and maybe to the best of our knowledge, we are. But we still need God to search our heart, because He can search it and will search it better than we could ever imagine trying to do ourselves. God is the only one that can search and know our hearts. But secondly, not only our heart, but also our mind. Colossians 3:2. "Set your affection," referring to your mind or your thoughts, "on things above, not on things on the earth." Romans 12:2, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." If we are asking God to renew our minds, what is that saying? That means that our minds need to be renewed. That means that there is something going on in our minds that is not right. And what are our minds supposed to be focused on, based in Romans 12? "That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Folks, God is the one that can only search our minds as well. I don't think I have to explain to you how corrupt our minds are and how they naturally want to follow the way of the world. You see, our flesh does not need to be trained on how to do wrong. Our hearts, our minds, our bodies, they are naturally going to do what is easy, what the flesh desires. Therefore, we have to be purposeful about what we are going to do. And we need to be purposeful about asking God to search those areas that we cannot fully know or control. We need to ask God to be the one to search. But why is it important for God to search the heart and mind? We've already been talking about 1 Samuel 16:7. It says, "But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him." Understand, here is where Samuel is coming to anoint the next king. He's going through all these guys and he's seen them come up and he's like, oh, there's the next king. He's a big, strong guy. He looks like he should be king. And God said, nope, that's not him. And so the next one comes along. Oh, well, he's not quite as big as his brother, but he looks like he could definitely be a king. God's like, nope, that's not him either. And he goes through all of these brothers. And each time I can imagine Samuel's just getting a little bit more worried here. Like we're getting younger and weaker. And then finally he's like, well, that's all my sons. And he's like, oh, well, maybe God wasn't right. Maybe that's not the one that was supposed to be anointed. And obviously we understand they had to call David out of the fields. And David, just this young boy, and that is who God had chosen. Because God doesn't look on the outward appearance. God sees the outward appearance. God can see as well. But God looks beyond that. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Our God can see our hearts. We are blocked by the outward appearance of other people. And even with ourselves, we can know ourselves better than anyone else can know us. But even then, still, we cannot even come close to scratching the surface of knowing ourselves, knowing our hearts and our minds as well as God does. Therefore, God is the only one that is able to search those areas. And that is why it is important, and we see in Psalm 139, that we are asking God to search us and to search those areas. You see, we need to love God with every part of our being. Matthew 22:37 says, "Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." Folks, every single part of us should be focused on the Lord, should be sold out to him, should be saying, I love you with every single thing that we do. We should be loving him with everything that we have. That is the goal. That is the thing that we as Christians should be focused on. Not to, as I said earlier, not to say I'll love God in part over here, or I'll love God for a moment over here, but to be sold out for God in every single area of our lives. And then number four, what exactly is the goal of this searching? So understand what it looks like. Who's supposed to be doing it? God. Where it's supposed to be going on. But what is the goal of this? If we're going to come before God, we're going to say, God, I want you to search me. There should be, hopefully, a goal, a reason behind it. We're expecting something to happen. Well, we see in verse 24, he says, "And if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." You see, the first thing is that the goal of the searching is that there is a prevention of wrong thoughts, desires, and actions. See if there be any wicked way in me. Honestly asking God, is there anything in my life that needs to change? Is there any thoughts, desires, or actions that I am doing that I am blind to that are wrong? Or there are even those little seeds that have been planted that I'm not even aware of yet that I need to get right with you, that I need to change something I am doing because it is leading towards destruction. Is there any wicked way in me whatsoever? We're asking God to search for that. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." The battle that we're facing here, in the spiritual battle, it is spiritual in nature. It's not a fleshly battle. It's not something physical in nature. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." The most difficult battle that we can face is not one that we can see that is a physical in nature. It is the one that is going on, the battle in our minds and in our hearts for our souls. The battle that we face every day, where we, as this passage here, as Paul's talking to the church at Corinth, where you have to cast down imaginations. Or instead of believing in things that might be true, but we don't know, we believe in what is and who is true, and in God and in His Word. We're casting down those imaginations, casting down every high thing that exalteth itself, that says, oh yeah, I'm equal in the knowledge of God, that I am at the same level as God. We're casting those down, and we are instead, we're bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Can you imagine what it would look like if you brought every thought into captivity? In other words, you were purposeful about every thought that you had, and you were conscious of it, and you were thinking about it, and you didn't just let yourself just think about whatever. The things that we think about control us, and they will eventually turn into those actions that we are doing. I joke with my wife a lot because I think that guys have an advantage because we're able to think of nothing. And we've seen videos when we went through marriage counseling. We watched a thing about it. We're joking, like, you guys don't really think about nothing. I'm like, no, we really do. It's not like we're thinking of nothing, but we're able to, but we are. We're thinking of nothing. We're just able to kind of just be sitting there. She'll ask me a lot of times, what you thinking about? Nothing. I mean, I'm thinking about that ceiling tile, if that counts, but that's about all that's going on. It's just nice to kind of just shut the brain process off for a little while and just think about nothing. But we're always thinking about something. Every single one of us are always consciously thinking of something. And are we taking every one of those thoughts into captivity? Are we considering the weight of every single one of those thoughts? Are we allowing God to control our thinking, or are we trying to control our thinking? Or even worse, are we just kind of letting whatever happens happen? Are we just saying, yeah, my thoughts aren't really that important, I'll kind of deal with it when it gets to the action part of things? By the time it gets to the point where we're acting on our thoughts, majority of the time it's already too late. We've already let those thoughts be ingrained in us. We have already let them become a pattern in our lives. We should take every thought into captivity. Do not let the world, do not let ourselves control what is going on in our mind. Philippians 2, 14 through 15. We're also commanded to do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Never forget that we are the lights of the world. That Jesus Christ is the light of the world, but we are called to reflect that light to this world around us. But we cannot do that if we are just allowing our heart and our mind to go whichever way they want to. We have to allow God to search us and to correct things in our lives. So we need to see if there is any wicked way in our lives. But secondly, we also, the purpose of the searching is to refocus us on God and to keep our focus on God. You see, the way everlasting here, it basically is, in other words, saying this is hopefully leading me to God's way. Not my way, not how I want to do things, but is leading me in God's way. We should ask God to keep us centered on His plan for us. We saw a couple weeks ago in Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, how we are to ask God to lead us and to direct our paths. We see that we need to understand that we should not divide our attention. You see, our goal is to strive to stay 100% focused on God 100% of the time. 100% focused on God in every moment of our lives. And that He is the sole priority. Matthew 6, 24 tells us that we can't divide our attention. We're focused on one thing at a time. Where it says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. We can only focus on one thing at a time. Are we focused on God? Or are we focused on whatever is convenient at that time? Are we focused on what our flesh wants to focus on what our minds naturally want to focus on? Or are we focused on God? See, our passion, our desire should be, as Paul was telling to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God. For those of you that are in school or have gone to school that remember what school is like, in order to do well, you have to study hard. You have to work at it. Some people have to work harder than others, but we all have to work at it. And we have to work to show ourselves approved unto God. We have to study. We have to know Him. We have to draw closer to Him. It's not just something that just happens. Just as you couldn't take your school book the night before your homework was due and put it under your pillow and sleep there and just think everything was going to come into your brain, the so way the Christian life doesn't just happen because you just come and sit in church. It doesn't happen because you have a Bible sitting on your nightstand. It doesn't happen because you do a couple of good things in your life. It happens because we are studying to show ourselves approved unto God, not unto man, but unto God. It takes work. And if we really want to have our lives focused on God, we need to be studying to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, and we need to be rightly dividing the word of truth. Get into God's word. Study it. Apply it to your lives and see how God can change your lives. And lastly, let's never forget our overall purpose, our overall goal for our lives. So no matter what we're doing, whether you eat or you drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Folks, are we doing all to the glory of God right now? If you call yourself a Christian, are you doing all to the glory of God? Are we able to say this morning, God, I want you to search me. I want you to know my heart, to know my mind. Because I am able to say I'm in a relationship with you that is so close that I want to be even better. That I am studying to show myself approved unto you. I want you to see if there's any wicked way in me. And can we say with David that we want God to lead us in his way. Not in our way, but in what he has for us. That should be our goal. That should be our prayer. So we can say with David, God, search me and know me. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for this challenge. I pray that we would be able to say with David, that we'd be able to ask for you to search us. That we wouldn't just say it casually, but we would truly mean it. That we would ask you to look into our lives and see if there's anything that is separating us from you. Lord, I pray that you would help us to live lives that are so focused on you that we are continually drawing closer and closer and closer to you. And Lord, that we would show you the love that you desire from us, the love that you so greatly deserve because you gave the ultimate sacrifice, because you sent your son to die for us. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here this morning that doesn't know you as their personal Savior, that doesn't even know what it's like to ask God to search them, that today would be their day of salvation, that they'd be able to ask you to save them, and that they would be able to begin to experience what it's like to have that close relationship with you. Thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen. If you could turn with me in your hymnals to number 516. Number 516, Cleanse Me. This song, the words are taken from Psalm 139. Let's stand as we sing this, where it says, Search me, O God, and know my heart today. As we're singing this, as I've challenged many times before, are we singing this as a prayer from our heart? And can you sing this today as we just talked about, saying that I am in a relationship with you, that though it's not perfect, I am seeking you with my whole heart, and I want you to search me, and I want you to know me. Can we sing this as a prayer from our heart this morning? Number 516 on the first.
Search me. Somewhere.
pray that we can sing that, that we can pray that honestly from our hearts this morning. And if you can't, I pray that we'd be able to ask God, how can I draw closer to you? And how can I get to the point where I can ask you to honestly search me and to cleanse me from all this sin in my life that we face on a daily basis? Pray this is a challenge that we leave here renewed in our zeal to live for the Lord and to allow him to search us and so that we can draw closer to him every single moment of every single day. Let's close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you'd give everyone just a blessed rest of this afternoon. Lord, that you give each of us opportunities to show our love for you and how we're treating others around us and how we're responding to different situations and how we're able to interact with the lost in the world around us. Lord, I pray that you give each of us opportunities to be a testimony for you. Lord, I pray that you'd help all of us to be sold out for you, that we would be living focus on you 100% of the time. Lord, that you would help us to show our love for you and how we live our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.